This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross, back with celebrated actress and acting teacher Uta Hagen. She's now starring off-Broadway in the play Collected Stories. She runs the HB Acting Studio in New York, where she's taught since the late 40s. She started her acting career over 60 years ago and has worked with now legendary people. In 1943, you played Desdemona to Paul Robeson's Othello. What was it like to work opposite Robeson?
Well, it was wonderful. He was an unbelievably overused term, but charismatic man with a great presence, an enormous intelligence, a sense of humor. He was a great, great man.
Was there anything that was considered controversial about the production?
Everything was considered controversial.
Often Othello was played by a white actor in blackface.
It was the first time in this country. No, mm-hmm. Maybe not. Maybe in some... I just was trying to think who else had played it. I don't want to have history cockeyed here. But it was, for a Broadway production, way ahead of its time in that sense. And that made it very controversial and very exciting. And no trouble at all. Everybody was thrilled with the idea that this was finally happening.
Now, am I right in saying that you were later blacklisted?
Oh, yes. I was blacklisted for 10 years.
And
as a matter of fact, I was graylisted. In 1970, I did a production for CBS, and I said to, there was a woman producer called Barbara Schultz, and I said, did you have any trouble getting me on? And she said, oh, God, yes. That was still in 1970.
And do you think that related at all to your work with Robeson?
It did.
And your friendship with Robeson?
It did, no question about it. I also was a progressive and a political, what would I still call myself, a liberal, left liberal Democrat. I always was, and I always will be. And it was that one time in my life when I would say I was very proud to be an American citizen because I felt I was very active as such. And the blacklisting and the what happened to me as a result, I say the government still owes me an apology.
So you lost a lot of roles that you think
well,
you would have had.
Well, of course. Oh, I know. And it was at the kind of the most fruitful part of my career. I had just done Blanche for 2 years. I had done The Country Girl. I had done St. Joan. And suddenly, and I was beginning to get big television offers. I was never got another television. I never got another film offer. St. Joan was supposed to go on the road. I couldn't go on the road because they were writing the Guild protest letters from Indianapolis, from all over the country. And And the worst thing they did, I don't really care, I say, about that, because I think, in a way, maybe it prevented me from being tempted by movies and stuff that I would have been sorry I did afterwards. But what they did to me spiritually was that it's the only time in my life I was ever frightened. I've never been frightened of anything in my life. And that scared me, and that's what I resent most.
Did you have to testify?
Twice. I mean, I was called twice. I only testified once eventually in private session. But those were horrible days. Those were days when you sat in a restaurant, and if you started to talk politics, you looked over your shoulder to see if a waiter was listening was going to report you. My phone was tapped. I was followed by the FBI. And nobody ever even asked me to be a communist. That's what's so ironic about that whole time.
Back to acting. In 1947, you worked with the director Harold Clurman, and you say that he took away all your tricks and
yep.
brought you into a more modern approach to acting. What were the tricks that he stripped you of?
Well, the tricks, what you learn, actually, he stripped me of stuff that I had acquired as a professional, which was pretty junky, you know, but Broadway tricks. You tell a funny joke just before you enter the stage. That makes you into a professional, which is junk. And slick entrances and how to sit and how to move gracefully and self-aware and theatrically, externally theatrically phony, which I did not begin with, by the way. As an amateur, I said, Clurman led me back to being a good amateur, which is that I believed who I was, I believed where I was, I had faith in what I was doing, I was not dishing it out front for consumption, And he wouldn't let me do, I had learned to fix line readings, to fix gestures, and he didn't let me do any of that, and I got back to where I'd been, and I only now I believe that it could be done that way and wasn't amateurish, but was true.
You met your late husband, Herbert Berghoff, in the theater. He was an actor and teacher, and you run the studio that he founded. Did you meet him in a play? Were you on stage together?
Yes,
first?
We were in a play with Klerman, as a matter of fact. It was the same play called The Whole World Over by Konstantin Simonov. Not a very good play. And he was a replacement. And I had heard about him, and through many of my acting colleagues, many of them studied with him. I thought he was a phony, he was a guru. at the few meetings I had with him, I thought a strange man. And then we started working together, and were love scenes, and a couple of kisses, and a couple of hugs, and a week later we hit the sack, and we never left.
Now, I
44 years later.
I imagine it's a very kind of intensified experience to be in love with somebody on and off stage, to enact this dramatic love on stage and to also feel it off stage.
I don't think it's that so much. It's working together. I think it needn't have been a love scene for us to fall in love with each other.
Uh-huh.
But what was extraordinary about our relationship from then on was that we truly did everything together. I mean, he'd got me into teaching. He's the one who started me teaching. And I said, I don't know how to teach. Why do you want me to teach? And he said, you know how to act. Can't you learn to pass on what you've learned? And when he put it that way, I thought, that'll be fun. And then from then on, I loved it. And we had the studio together, and we played together for many, many years. And he directed me in many plays. And it was a unique, fabulous life that I still can't believe is gone.
My guest is actress and teacher Uta Hagen. Did you ever study, you know, the method?
No, never. I mean, I've read all of Stanislavski's books avidly when I was young, and I still have my old copies that are all underlined with "so true" on the side. You know, I didn't really know why. And I also remember thinking, why can't I do what he's telling me when I get on stage? As a matter of fact, that when I was asked to write my book, I was actually commissioned to write the first one by Macmillan. I said, it can't be done, and it drove me crazy, because I said, I can demonstrate something in 1 second that it takes me 30 pages to write. You know, got so bored with it. But my books are actually based on things that gave me problems as an actor.
Mm-hmm.
And every exercise, every thing I came up with was based on my own problems, sharing those with other actors, which I think most of those problems every actor has had himself. When people say, oh, how do you know that? I say, because there isn't a mistake I haven't made. There isn't a mistake in the book that I haven't made 10 times, 100 times. So then I see it in someone else, then I can help them get rid of that problem.
You mentioned that first book about acting that you wrote. You've in a way disavowed that book, and you have a second book about acting. What was the problem with the first book?
Well, when I was watching an exercise in class, and I was appalled. And I very rarely get impatient, and this time I did. And I said, "My God, what's the matter? Didn't you read my book?" And she said, yes. And I said, where does it say to do what you just did? She brought me the book, and there was some sentence there. I said, oh, no. And I hadn't looked at the book in 12 years. And I took it home. I reread it. I said, this has got to go. And I immediately started to revise it and spend another 5 years writing the new one. And theoretically, I agree with many of the things in the first book. But it's cute. It's superficial. It's convenient. I think it can be misinterpreted. I teach all of it. I've taught a lot in colleges. They say, I'm working from your book, and they're doing the opposite of what I say. They have managed to say what I wrote and interpreted the opposite. So I thought, this mustn't be. So I wrote the new one, and I think people might not like it as much, but they and they might disagree with it. You can't even disagree with the first one. It's so general.
I wonder if you have actors who you've taught, who you've seen changed by working in Hollywood and achieving stardom there.
I've seen, well, if they're talented and manage to get over the idiocy of Hollywood, they usually change for the better, but if they improve. But if they, I've seen professional actors, stars, whom I worked with, who were theater actors, who were quite extraordinary and wonderful. And they go to Hollywood for 6, 7, 8 years, and they do sitcoms or they do nothing but movies, and they come back and they are scared to death. They cannot sustain a performance. They tense up. They have not used their bodies. They're all used to close-ups, and have really lost their ability. And that's a fact. I know 4 very specific examples that were you shudder.
Do you have a performance tonight of Collected Stories?
Yes.
What, is there anything special that you do on the day of a performance?
Yes. I do as little as possible. And I will go home now from this interview and eat by about 3. And then at 4 I will lie down. And I will get up at 5:30 and start making up in my home. And then I will go to the theater at 6:30 and be there at 7:15. And then I will play at 8.
Well, let me let you return into your preparation for tonight's performance. It's really been a pleasure to talk with you. I thank you very
much. Thank
you so much.
Thank you. I hope I wasn't irritating you.
No, I mean, no. I respect all of your opinions on this, even if I do differ on some of them. But it's really been a pleasure, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much for asking me.
Uta Hagen is now starring off-Broadway in the play Collected Stories. It runs through January 3rd. Her latest book is called A Challenge for the Actor. You can hear her voice in an upcoming episode of King of the Hill.